Listen, there's a great work to be done. As soon as you win this court battle, you must deliver this message. Take advantage of this opportunity and declare a powerful message to this world. He expects more of us. He believes we can do more. Who's going to stop Christ? Who's going to stop Christ from getting this work done?
This is Behind the Work.
Welcome to Behind the Work. I'm Grant Turgeon. This work, which now has grown to national and international scope and influence, started as small as any work could start, literally from nothing. It has been, from the start, 100% a work of faith. And we had to really learn this lesson of faith before it had even started. The late Worldwide Church of God founder Herbert W. Armstrong wrote this on page 8 of his booklet, What is Faith? We offer this booklet to you for free at thetrumpet.com. What is faith? And his statements about God's work back then, he died in 1986, but the work lasted from 1934 all the way through 1986. And then it was revived in this end time. But that work started small. It was a work of faith. And so is the work being done through the Philadelphia Church of God today. A work of faith. Faith is such a misunderstood subject, sadly. So many people struggle with this concept. What is faith? Jesus Christ is concerned about this question. He asks about his own second coming. Shall he find faith on the earth? Christ is wondering, will there be any faith when he comes back? Faith is almost non-existent today. And that's because we misunderstand what it really is. If God's work is a work of faith, we have to understand this subject. We have to live with faith. We have to walk by faith to do this work. Mr. Armstrong wrote about Christ on page 2 of What is Faith? Everything he did, every miracle he performed, was done literally through faith, setting us a beautiful example. Mr. Armstrong also wrote about all of the apostles, all of the heroes of the Bible, really, and how they had the power of God's Holy Spirit, how they had unbreakable, unshakable faith. He writes here on page 2 again, Peter, Stephen, Philip, Paul, all common, humble, ordinary men themselves, all had that power, the same identical power Jesus had, because they lived and walked close to God and were filled with the Holy Spirit. And we seem to lack that power today, not because God denies us that power, but because we are so close to a modern, materialistic world, our minds are so filled with the material interests of this life. Our minds and our hearts are so far from God. We are so out of touch with Him through lack of enough time spent in the study of His Word and lack of enough of the right kind of surrendered, submissive, earnest, and heart-rending prayer. And consequently, because we are not filled with the Holy Spirit. There is a reason why we lack faith. It comes down to wrong priorities, a wrong focus in life, caring too much about this physical life and not enough about the next life. raising up false gods to take the place of the true God, whether that is money or fame or power, whatever we care about and worship instead of the true God. Is it really surprising that we lack faith when we aren't close enough to God? Of course that's going to be the result. Mr. Armstrong brilliantly defines faith in this booklet. Again, what is faith? Get yourself a free copy at thetrumpet.com. Now, Mr. Armstrong didn't invent the definition of faith. It comes straight out of the Bible, and Mr. Armstrong simply expounded on that biblical definition. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." The word substance there could mean assurance. So faith is assurance. It is confidence. As Mr. Armstrong wrote on page 3, faith comes before possession. Once you have received the possession, you no longer hope for it. So we have to believe absolutely in God's promises before the physical evidence arrives. Mr. Armstrong wrote, "Faith is the evidence, you shall have it, before you even see it. It is the evidence of things not yet seen." So faith is a spiritual matter. It is spiritual evidence. It transcends the five senses. What we see and feel and hear are irrelevant to faith. Faith is not a feeling. We don't work it up. It is actually a gift of God. We can't have it without God giving it to us. God is faithful. God cannot lie. Every promise he makes is absolute. Mr. Armstrong wrote on page 6, "You must render your verdict based upon the evidence, which now is the evidence you believe. That which you see and feel, the physical evidences that often are deceptive, or your faith that God's word is true, that his promises are sure, that it is impossible for God to lie. If you believe this latter spiritual evidence and reject the physical evidences of sight and of feeling, you pronounce sentence that his word has been vindicated by your verdict." Now, Mr. Armstrong specifically talks about God's healing promise. This is a prime example of a very much misunderstood promise from God. People so often think that God's healing promise has failed simply because someone died. And the thing is, we have to educate our faith. We have to know what God's promises actually are. And then just believe them. We have to just boldly claim those promises in prayer. Remind our Father what he has said. And then have the faith that he will answer. But the thing is also, how can we believe God's promises if we haven't yet proven for a fact that God exists? That might seem pretty basic, but don't overlook that. That's where it all starts. Either God exists, or we exist because of a Big Bang or some other evolutionary theory. We either exist due to the creative design of a superior power, or we exist randomly. There's either creation or evolution. We have an incredible free booklet. I believe it's about 13 pages. At thetrumpet.com, it's titled, Does God Exist? Mr. Armstrong wrote that one too. And in that booklet, Mr. Armstrong explains from the standpoint of a secular person or an atheist how God must exist. God actually says only a fool would not believe he exists. God directly challenges people to prove his existence. And you can prove it just like you can prove that a watch has a watchmaker, or a library has a builder, and that a book has a writer. Creation has a creator. It is intelligently planned and designed. The evidence surrounds us. You can prove it. I urge you to prove it. Start there. If you're wondering how to build faith, start by answering that question. Don't assume God exists. Prove it. Go study Does God Exist at thetrumpet.com. It is free. Now, once you have proven that God exists, what is next? Well, there are many religions out there. There are many religious texts, but only one religious book claims to be the inspired word of God. And God, again, challenges us to prove the Bible true. Only the Bible is so audacious and outlandish to guarantee that it speaks for God. Is that true? Is the Bible God's word? Did God write this book through dozens of different human writers? Is the Bible really Jesus Christ in print? Again, we have another free book available to you, or booklet available to you at thetrumpet.com. It is titled The Proof of the Bible. Mr. Armstrong wrote that one too. It is amazing how much God revealed through that man. And the very fact that the Philadelphia Church of God went to so much effort, fought a 6-year court battle to obtain the rights to these precious writings, shows you that God is here working among us today. God directs this work. There's only one little group of people that actually values this awesome revelation. So study the proof of the Bible. You can see in that booklet there are plenty of different proofs that God exists and that the Bible is true. But again, Mr. Armstrong approaches it with the goal of convincing the skeptic. If you have any skepticism or any doubt in the Bible, study that booklet, The Proof of the Bible. Now, the greatest proof of the Bible is fulfilled prophecy. The Bible is bold. It claims to know world events that will occur in the future. It writes it down. It puts it on record and says, here are the major world powers in this end time. Here is how they will interact with each other. And here is how the world will result. There is no possible way a human being could predict all of this. Plenty of prophecies in your Bible have already come to pass. Study that booklet with an open mind. The Proof of the Bible, again, available for free at thetrumpet.com. So once you have proven that God exists, Again, the booklet does God exist. And then you have proven that the Bible is God's book by studying proof of the Bible. Well, then we get to the point where we can start proving God's promises. Now that we know that God directed the writing of the Bible, we can know that those promises in the Bible actually did come from God, such as the healing promise. God makes a promise to heal. It is always God's will to heal. And yet some have still died from diseases, sicknesses of some kind, injuries. People who have prayed and prayed and believed in that healing promise have still died. That has happened. But what is your reaction to those events? When someone dies who really believed he would be healed, do you instinctively turn against God and assume that God lied? Or do you search the scriptures to figure out how that promise still stands? Do you strive to educate your faith even further to drive out all doubt? The fact is, the healing promise is connected to the resurrection. So while plenty of people are healed in this physical life, the ultimate healing is when we are transformed into spirit beings. Spirit bodies don't have any aches and pains. They don't suffer ailments and injuries. They never get tired. Spirit beings have perfect health because they are immortal. Doesn't that sound like healing to you? If you could go from being dead to then living forever, wouldn't that qualify in your mind as healing? We don't always see things the way God does. We don't always do things the way God does. But God is always right. God knows everything. God does everything the right way. And we just have to believe. Ephesians 5 verse 17 shows we should study the Bible to learn God's will. The Bible reveals God's will. We don't have to wonder if it is God's will to heal us or to bless us or to protect us. God makes those promises, and those promises are sure. Page 7 of What is Faith, Mr. Armstrong writes, "The Bible is full of promises, literally full of them. If you need anything, study to see whether God promised it, and if he has, he can't break a promise." Page 8, Mr. Armstrong testifies of his personal experience. "I know whereof I speak, because I've put what I'm now telling you to the test, not once, but literally hundreds and thousands of times, and God has never failed to keep his promise once. I've seen the answers come so often and so frequently that I expect the answer when I ask." Wow. What an example Mr. Armstrong set. Expecting an answer, believing what God teaches, and then taking the time, exercising the patience to let God fulfill his promises his way according to his time. Relying on God, trusting God, believing him, knowing what those promises really say, so that our faith is never shaken. This is absolutely crucial. Going step by step, proving God, proving his word, proving his promises. Because as we all develop individually in faith, the entire work benefits. God's work is a work of faith. We walk through open doors and seize opportunities for God's work in faith. It's the faith of Jesus Christ. It's not our own faith that we worked up and mustered up. It is Christ's faith in us, placed in us, acting in us. Page 9, Mr. Armstrong again emphasizes that faith is not a feeling. He says, your feeling, your convictions, your impressions have absolutely not one thing or the other to do with faith. Faith has only to do with God's word. The one question is, has God promised it in the Bible? If he has, then probabilities, possibilities, feelings, convictions, impressions have nothing whatsoever to do with it. God has a thousand ways we know nothing of answering and providing whatever he has promised. We don't need to see how he is going to do it. And that's another thing. He almost never will do it the way we expect. So don't try to figure out how it is possible for God to do it. You are trusting in supernatural power. Then believe in that power. God works in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. What he has promised, he will perform. But he will do it his way and in his time. Leave all that to him and just trust him. Rely upon his word. And finally, Mr. Armstrong explains how to get faith, this gift of God. The bottom of page 9. Draw closer to God. Get to know God. Surrender all the way to him and do his will, and then pray. It seems very simple, but so much hard experience shows us that it really isn't. It is hard to obey God, and yet he offers so many incredible rewards if we can do it. If we can really strive to live this way. Being a Christian is not just something that we role play on the weekends. It is an entire way of life. Notice this promise from God. This is something that really should stir us up and motivate us to go the right way. Psalm 37, verse 4. Delight yourself also in the eternal, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. This is written down in the Bible. The Bible is true. You can prove this. You can prove God's promise is true. In this case, God offers to give you the desires of your heart. But the condition is, you must delight yourself in him. You must get excited about contacting God through prayer and Bible study. You must love digging deep into the riches and glory of the Bible. If you delight in God, in keeping his law, in living his way, then he'll give you everything. Do we have the faith to believe this promise? Do we have the faith that moves mountains and will enable us to finish God's work? Something worth thinking about. Thanks so much for listening today. I'm Grant Turgeon. This has been Behind the Work.
You've been listening to Behind the Work. Email your thoughts to comments at kpcg.fm. Listen for a new episode each Monday at 12 p.m. Central Time.